Welcome to the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your host, guide, mentor, and coach. And with me, my friend and producer, Rishi.
Thank you, Greg. Tell us, Greg, where we left off from last episode and where we will continue in this one.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah, last episode, which is actually our inaugural or our first episode, which I'm very happy with, we talked a little bit about mental strength, some TFAR, that's thoughts, feelings, actions, results. And we left off with perception is projection. And today we're going to pick that up. What perception is projection? What is it? How you can use it? And some of the factors involved with it. And once we get through that discussion, we'll move into inner and outer worlds.
This will sound like a very interesting discussion, Greg. And I look forward to hearing more about it. Let's get ready to start.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to our input. Well, last week we ended off with perception is projection, and for any of those, if you have seen the Secret or What the Bleep and heard about you create your reality, this is the basis of that. That perception is projection. Let me give a couple of examples. There's a day outside. You have a day. You're out there. You're having a great time. You're enjoying the day, and there's somebody right next to you. You see them on the street, and they're cursing at the sun, it's too hot, I'm getting sunburned, whatever. It's the exact same day, but two people are experiencing it completely different. Why is that? Well, it's the same reason why you, when you wake up on a beautiful day, will see all the great things that are happening out there, wake up the next day, have the exact same set of parameters, the day's beautiful, but you'll think it sucks. It's all because of what is going on in your mind. You are focusing on certain aspects that are outside, or actually the filtering those aspects that are outside that are coming into you.
Does that mean that it's up to you to create the world you live in instead of situations, the weather, the economy, the news? Does it boil down to it's you? That's the one who creates your world?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a fantastic point. And it gets back to the cause and effect side, or the cause and effect equation. You can either, complain and be a victim and be on the effect side, saying that, oh, it's the weather's fault, the government's fault, my wife's fault, or somebody else's fault. Or you can be on the cause side and say, it's my responsibility for how I react to any specific situation. Because it's funny, because in reality, when you look at any event, nothing has meaning except for the meaning that you give it.
Could you explain more about what you just said about nothing has meaning except the meaning that you give it?
Correct. Yep. I certainly will. So to give some background on the information, depending on what books you read and who you listen to, there's approximately 2 million bits of information going by us every single day, whether it's visual, auditory, whatever it is, there's 2 million bits. Well, our conscious mind brain cannot handle all that information. So it has to pick out the important bits of information to get into our consciousness. That's done through the reticular activating system. And don't worry, we're not going to get so deep into the mental process here or biology or any of those things, but it's just some interesting facts to know. So this reticular activating system is where your filters are stored. We tend to take information and we either generalize it, distort it, or delete it, so it fits into our parameters. So those 126 bits of information are determined by our beliefs and our values, and they then generalize, delete, or distort. Another example of how your reticular activating system works is if you've ever been in a crowded airport and walking along, and you hear a lot of background noise and hum and stuff, but then over the loudspeaker comes your first name. You'll hear your first name immediately because your reticular activating system and your filters say, oh, my name is important. And then you'll listen to it and say, oh, it's not my last name, so no worry about it. But then you'll go back in and you won't hear it anymore. So part of that meaning is nothing has meaning except for the meaning you give it is based on your generalization, distortions, and deletions. When you see something and you say it's beautiful or it's ugly, it's based on your beliefs and values. So again, you could see a painting, and art is a perfect example. You could see a piece of art and say it's beautiful. Another person could see a piece of art and say it's junk. You're both right, according to your own sets of beliefs. So the painting has no meaning, but to you it's beautiful, to the other person it's junk.
Very interesting. That this gives a complete perception of how I will view my day. In fact, I'll probably be too concerned thinking, oh, I gotta make sure that my filters are in place and I don't all of a sudden make quick judgments about whether the sun is too hot, when in fact maybe the sun, the weather is what I need to continue with the day.
That's awesome. That's part of the power of knowing this, is now being aware of our perceptions. So how we perceive something, how we project something, when we know that we can control our response to a specific situation or a day or a friend, that gives us more power. That gives us more power to say, oh, I choose to behave this way, or I choose to behave a different way. Or on the extreme end, if you look at everything through a positive or an empowering light, everything will have a teaching or a learning for it, as opposed to poor, poor, pitiful me. Why is this happening to me? Why do I hit every red light? I'm going to a meeting, I'm late at the meeting. And you say, wow, the red light gave me a chance to reflect on what I'm going to say at the meeting and be more focused at it. And so it's all how you perceive it through those filters. And again, just to emphasize, those filters are really, they generalize, distort, delete, but they're based on your experiences that you have in the world, your values, and your beliefs. And your values will tend to emphasize your beliefs, will create your beliefs, and your beliefs will create your experiences. So both, all three are self-fulfilling prophecies. So when you can take a look at your beliefs and change them, you'll change your experiences as well.
What if I'm having a really, let's just say, not a great day, but I'm so stuck into my own thoughts and I'm deep inside, you can say, a hole where I'm spiraling down, but I'm completely unaware that I can make a choice where I don't have to feel like my inner world is collapsing. What do I do then?
Well, you said one key thing there, and I'm sure we've all found ourselves in those situations. You said if you're not aware of it. So if a person is not aware, there's nothing can be done. It's like you can't put toothpaste back in a tube, you can't push a rope, and you can't climb a fence that's leaning towards you. There are some things you just can't do. And if a person is unaware that they had the power to get out of it, then they can't. What can happen, though, is after a few days pass, and usually, good night's sleep and some other things will solve that, a good coach will go in and ask the individual, how could you have seen that situation differently? So having the individual, yourself or whoever it may be, reflect back on that situation where they were caught in that quagmire, that downward spiral, and ask them how they could perceive it differently. This will get them to shift their perspective on an event that already happened, which will then allow them to see that they can change.
And do you provide this type of coaching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's part of my mental strength coaching, is to help folks reflect on experiences, build the mental strength, and build the disciplines that to know that they can create the life they want, that they actually are in control themselves. And so that's it. So with the filtering part, it's just fascinating that when you really grasp that you do create your reality, that you are in charge of it all, and you can have a choice to look at any situation the way you want, and how you look at it creates it. That is a very powerful thought that allows you to go through life very happy and joyful, or go through life very miserable. I think it was Einstein said that the two most important questions you can ask yourself is, do you live in a safe universe, or do you live in a bad or a terrible universe? I'm paraphrasing that, but it's one of the questions that talks about your perception on that.
Let's talk about inner and outer worlds. What are they?
Yeah, well, it sounds like a science fiction story, right? Like journey to the center of the earth, whether it's journey to the center of your soul, kind of. But we tend to live in two worlds: the inner world, which is the world of thoughts, emotions, and feelings. And then our outer world, which is the world of circumstances and events. And these two worlds are independent, yet they do affect each other. For instance, whoever may be listening to this podcast right now may be sitting in a chair or driving in a car. So they're physically in a chair. And if we tend to get boring during this podcast, their mind may drift to what's for dinner. Mm-hmm. So their inner world is someplace else, and their outer world is still in the chair. We've lost them. So hopefully we won't do that, and we'll try to keep them attained.
I do have a story I could tell. I was 8 years old when I had my first concussion, and it had to do with the fact that it was after school. I was walking to the bus station, and I was just so caught up in my own thoughts and how my day was going in class that I didn't notice that there was a metal pole in front of me that I ran my head into. First thing, I was completely unaware of the outside world. Any kind of signal such as, there's a pole in front of me. Maybe I should step aside. I didn't see that because I was so into my own thoughts, I was literally blinded. And when I hit my head on that pole, I was physically blinded too, except for those sparks I saw and flashes of light. But that's a completely different topic. I was so caught up in my own inner world that the sense of being able to see my surroundings and was just not there. Who knows what could have happened if I continued walking, thinking about, my own thoughts and completely unaware of the outer world, because if I was crossing the street and not paying attention, I could have been hit by a car or a bus for the matter, because that's where I was going through the bus station.
And if that happened, we wouldn't be having this podcast right now. So that's a interesting story, and thanks for sharing that. And I'm glad that you're okay now. But it's a perfect example of how if we overemphasize one of those worlds, the other one disappears. If we overemphasize the inner world, as you did that one day, the outer world disappears, and we kind of we have to suffer the consequences of that.
And let's talk about consequences. In my case was a simple case. I just wasn't paying attention because I was too caught up in my own thoughts. How about in a situation, let's say, a person at his job, caught up in inner world, thinking that he's doing his work, he has a report to send to the boss, he keeps thinking to himself that maybe his work isn't good enough, his boss won't approve, he might get fired. All these thoughts can go to his head, not to mention if he gets fired, he's going to have a hard time finding a job because of the economy. Let's talk about what a person in a situation such as that could do to change and maybe balance the inner and outer world in this type of case.
That's great. And that actually fits very well into perception is projection, because they're both, the perception is the inner world, the projection is the outer world. And just to give a little bit more connection between the two worlds, your inner world does affect your outer world. So that circumstance that you gave where the gentleman was worried about being fired or not getting the report done on time, because of that focusing on the inner world, that will most likely manifest in the outer world. So his report will be late, he will get fired, and all those inner worlds will manifest in the outer world. The opposite also is true, is where the outer world can affect our inner world if we allow it. If we have a flat tire, and this is the perception is projection, if we get a flat tire, we can be angry and upset with it, or we can just say, hey, there's a reason for it, and what's the learning here? So to let one world control the other is it being kind of out of balance, if you will, or being the victim or the control of one of the others. But the key is to understand that you can, by controlling your inner world, your outer world will be reflected to that. So if the gentleman said, okay, you know what, I'm going to get this report in on time, to be a great report, and really believed it and worked on his inner world, his report would be good. So his outer world would be fine with that.
This also reminds me of a lot of times I've seen presentations, corporate presentations even, where a person would be speaking, he'd be very knowledgeable and the content of his presentation would be really rich. However, they're also quite a snooze fest, let's just say. And I've seen presentation that had absolutely no substance, but the speaker was very enthusiastic. He got the audience just very jazzed up and very motivated, not to mention just the people were just had a sense of people watching the presentation had this sense of, you know, pride to be able to be in front of this presenter. However, when you take the content from the presentation, it wasn't much, but it was a really good presentation. Does this type of example, do these examples reflect inner and outer world?
Actually, they do perfectly on two different scales. One is the presenter scale. His inner world is that he's excited and happy to be in front of the people presenting the information, regardless of what the information is. And he's coming across that way. He could be excited inside, but be dull and boring outside. But he's connected those two together very, very well, being excited and enthusiastic. And because of that, he's captured the audience's inner world as well and kept them there and listening to the information. If his enthusiasm on the inner world didn't translate to the outer world, he may have lost the audience's inner world, although they'd sit there in the chair and watch.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting phenomenon of this, and it gets back to that perception is projection. But the key here is, for both of these, is that the inner world really creates our outer world. That is, the perception is projection, or what we think, feel, and have emotions around about the outer world events is what it is. Again, that gets back to nothing has meaning except for the meaning that you give it.
When you say nothing has meaning except the meaning that you give it, is it one of those phrases such as if a tree falls down and there's no one to hear it, is there sound, or am I completely thinking of something else?
It's not necessarily the same. I like to equate it as if you just took a still picture of a close-up of something, right? And you would see what it would be. You know, if you go really deep into a flower, you know, the bud, the pollen part of the flower, you may look at it and going, this is horrible. This is, you know, it's not pretty. So it's nothing has meaning. So it just looks at it, it's meaningless. But then if you take it back and see the flower, then there's some meaning to it. It's beautiful. But and this is kind of a challenging one for a lot of folks, because there are many inanimate objects in our life, right? The flower, the bookshelves, a book is an inanimate object. It just has some writing on it. Yet you could read it and say it's a great book. You gave that book meaning to you. Another person could read the exact same book, an inanimate object, and say it's horrible. Same thing with a movie, same thing with all those other things. Those are that's a very easy concept to understand.
And speaking of movies, there are times when I've been excited to go see a movie I've been waiting to go see, and I'm in the theater, and I'm watching the movie, but then a couple rows in front of me, there would be some jerk who will start text messaging in front of me, and when the screen on his phone is just so bright, it just, you know, burns through my cornea. And I'm just so fixated on that annoying person with a cell phone that I can't even enjoy the movie. And maybe it's just a nuisance, but my whole movie experience is just plummeted.
Yep. And there are those times where you just need to do what you need to do. Yeah. And you get up and call the manager and have them handle the situation. You know, we're not all Yoda and here and Buddha and that type of stuff. We understand that. But the key here is to make small steps, small progress. So, you know, in those situations, you could, before acting, you go, what can I do? Well, I can ask him to turn it off because it is annoying. Obviously, it's, you know, Edgar Tolle talked about in The Power of Now that if you hear an annoying dog barking, let the sound go through you. Don't hold on to it. And that's kind of that annoyance is holding on to that instead of letting it go through you. So there's an opportunity there for to let the annoyance go through you as opposed to giving it some meaning and attached to it. Many times in a movie that takes a lot of training, mental strength, and it's just sometimes easier to say, I don't want the learning now, thank you very much, I want to watch my movie.
So next time you go to the movies, ask Greg if he could go with you. That way you could enjoy the movie without any kind of these type of hindrances.
I'm the first to admit that this is, again, there are times when it's easier said than done. I have challenges with it, but I tend to want to look at each of them as an opportunity to exercise this perception, this projection in my inner and outer worlds. If I just poo-pooed everything off, there wouldn't be any opportunity to learn. There wouldn't be any opportunity to grow, and there wouldn't be any opportunity to help others. And so I do get irritated, you know, in the traffic jams, and then after a while, take a breath and go, okay, what's the learning here? And it's amazing if you ask yourself, what's the learning here, and be quiet, you'll get an answer.
And at least you're aware of being able to say, be aware of, at least you're aware that you can assess the situation, whereas a lot of people, they can't. And over time, it can cause a lot of serious mental troubles.
Mental troubles, emotional troubles. And that's, I think, Rishi, we agreed to kind of what the podcast was about, is to deliver some good information about mind, body, spirit, that helps people develop the mental strength so that they can question, be aware, and move forward. And that, you know, that's the intent of this, is not to say that we're perfect or we're better or worse than anybody else. It's just through our experiences how we have handled different situations in life.
Is there a quick fix to this?
There could be. If you believe, and this is going to go push the envelope a little bit, but if you believed truly deeply that there is a quick fix, there would be. But we as humans tend to like things prolonged and drawn out, and so they tend to be long and drawn out. There's a great book that I've read from Seth, the Seth Works. I don't know if anybody out there has listened to it. If not, one of the best books is Seth, The Nature of Your Personal Reality. It's an individual who did some channeling, Jane Roberts. And Seth talked about the same thing, that if you have a belief, you can change it in the snap of a finger if your belief is strong enough. And I've seen it happen with how you perceive people. People have changed their perceptions immediately once enough drama around it happens. So it can change, but it takes some action or a lot of energy.
Interesting.
So that's, you know, I think that we've given a lot of information here today to have people digest and work with. And perhaps for, assignment till our next one is draw a line down the middle of a paper and do perception, projection, or inner and outer world. And just put down some thoughts on how you can control what you can be aware of in your inner world and how that will affect your outer world. And then maybe some situations that you've had in the past where you just let it determine your mood for the day and how you would go back and revisit that. Maybe you did get a flat tire. Maybe you got yelled at by the boss. Or maybe your kids got sent home from school for being in a fight and it put you in a bad mood. Well, then take a look back at that and see how you can reevaluate that situation from a different perspective, maybe from the child's, the teacher's, or somebody else's, or even change your perception on how it may be.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, thank you, Rishi. That was a great podcast. I'm looking forward to next week's.
So am I. Thank you.
Take care.